Hello there, Pastor Ben here, continuing our study through the book of Galatians. This week we'll be in Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. We saw in our passage last time that Paul was describing the beautiful glory of the status that we earn through salvation in Christ that makes us sons of God and God's family and heirs to the inheritance equal with Jesus and just the wonderful benefits that come from that. Today, as we look at our passage, we'll see that he compares the old way versus the new way of thinking, and we'll see just what he has to say about how the Galatian believers are dealing with their new identity or maybe not understanding it. So let's pick it up in verse 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come back to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. So he opens up with, again, a contrast of old way and new way. Formerly, when you did not know God, he says that they were enslaved to those things that by nature are not God's. This is partially in reference to the law and the old way of approaching a relationship with God and thinking that we can do well enough. This is also going to speak to the Gentile believers who were enslaved to the inner workings of the broken world that we live in and the different things that they would have been pursuing that, again, by nature, as Paul says, are not God's. And yet, either intentionally or unintentionally, these people in the Galatian church found themselves, because it is our human nature, our sinful nature, putting other things above the one true God. And a good reminder for us today that even good things can sometimes get in the way of worshiping and serving and as Paul will say later in this section, the things that are worthwhile are only really truly found in God and his plan for our lives. And so we know that those things that by nature are not God's are not good things to be enslaved to. And then the contrast here, he says, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, right? This phrase is really important because it reminds us that it's more important about in our salvation relationship, what we bring is sin. It's important that God knows us. God is the initiator of our salvation. He's the completer of our salvation. As we bend to the Holy Spirit's speakings in our life in order to understand fully our dire need for Jesus and what Jesus did for us. It's also echoing a little bit of the sentiment of Jesus from Matthew 7, where he says, at the judgment day, there will be people that say, you know, I did all these things for you. And Jesus, you know, why aren't we going to be in heaven with you? And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, right? And that's a scary phrase that we don't want to hear. So Paul's really pointing out to be known by God in this way, in this salvation manner, is the most important part of this status, this thing that he's been setting up in the passage previous, but really the entire time from the beginning of the letter. And so then he says, how can you turn back again? So this is not a new problem. Okay. This is something that in some ways maybe is a tale as old as time, but it's that idea of human effort will never get us there, right? The Tower of Babel did not work. Adam and Eve, right? Their effort to be like God, it did not work. Any of those turnings to a human approach is never going to work and never going to save us. And then he says, turn back to the weak and the worthless elementary principles of the world. So it's those same elementary principles that he mentioned back in verse 3 of this chapter. And the way that he describes them, right, they have no strength. They're weak. They cannot do anything effective in our lives by themselves. And they are worthless. Some translations put that as beggarly, right? They have nothing to offer. They only take. There's no intrinsic, inherent anything that is adding to what we know is the only source of salvation from this way of living. And then Paul accuses them, who slaves you want to be again once more, right? To go back to this old way of thinking, this legalistic error that the Galatian believers are struggling with. Warren Wiersbe puts this struggle in this way as we're talking about legalism. He says, one of the tragedies of legalism is that it gives the appearance of spiritual maturity when, in reality, it leads the believer back into a second childhood of Christian experience. And I think we found that true in today's church, that there are so many people who are churched. They might know things. They might do things that look Christian. But ultimately, it's an act. They're playing church. They're playing the roles that they feel like they're supposed to do. It's not coming out of a heart change. It's not coming out of the true free salvation, the freedom that we have because of salvation in responding to God because of what he's done for us, right? The motivation is my effort is going to make me right in God's eyes, instead of saying, God sees me as righteous. I have Jesus's righteousness, and so I am free to serve him and love him and worship him. So it's not that the doing of different things is bad or wrong, but the motivation is what we have to be careful of, that we don't get caught up in doing and not recognize that doing comes out of being. Even James, when he talks about, you know, faith without works is dead, he's not talking about, again, a works-based salvation, but what he's saying is, if we believe, when we believe, the things that pour out of our hearts come out of the belief that we have of the goodness of Jesus, not the belief that we can be good enough to attain or achieve what Jesus has for us. And then he goes on to give an example here in verse 10. He says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. The Jewish tradition would have a lot of different holidays and festivals that God set out in the law and said, do these things, do them regularly. They were good things to remind them of different elements of the story of Jews coming out of exile of Egypt and the things that God had done for them. So those observances, again, to observe a holiday is not necessarily a bad thing. But the contrast here, again, is the idea of being enslaved to that. You know, if we don't do this on this exact day for this amount of time, we have done something wrong. We've missed out. And that's not the purpose of those holidays, right? And again, for our hearts today, we have to be careful. Easter is a great time to celebrate Jesus's resurrection. Christmas is a great time to celebrate Jesus's coming to earth. But really, we should understand that we're celebrating those things all the time. Right? Every Sunday is a celebration of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. If those things are not true in our belief, then why are we bothering even to gather on Sundays, right? So when the holiday, when these days and months and seasons and years overtake the purpose of aiming us towards whatever it is that holiday points to, again, for us today, Easter and Christmas being the two big churchy holidays, when it becomes more important that the day be sacred or protected rather than that we take the time to bend our hearts and our minds towards the cause of celebration, then we've missed out. We've become enslaved to an old way of thinking. We have traditions for tradition's sake. And we have to be careful not to just stamp our feet and say, it has to be this way. If we don't do this, then it's not Christmas and it's wrong, or it's not Easter and it's wrong. And that's I think a real temptation to fall into that trap of legalism with regards to holidays. And again, it's not a new thing. This is happening back for the Galatian church as well. And then Paul says an interesting sentiment. He says, I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. It's a really strong statement from Paul to say, you know, I may have wasted all of my time. I worked really hard. The labor, the word for labor in here is the way it's written is meant to invoke this idea of labored with all of my power so that I don't have anything left to give. I'm totally exhausted, right? I've worked really, really hard. And at the end of the day, I finally get to rest. And Paul is saying, I've worked really, really hard trying to present the gospel to you, trying to teach you these ways. And for it to be in vain, right, that is not good. Like, what a worthless endeavor then for these people to choose legalism over the freedom in gospel. And we'll see as we look into the next section that Paul says another bold statement where he says, listen, follow my example, follow my lead. I want you to be like me, which is, we'll talk more about it in the next session, but his sense of authority isn't because Paul is such a great person. It's because he knows fully where his authority comes from, and it's all based on Jesus. It's based on the scripture. It's based on him, his direct experience with Jesus, as well as his study and knowledge of God's word and what it means for God's people in the context of the life that they're living, right? It's a real life understanding. It's not just an intellectual one. And so as we continue on through chapter four, as we continue on through this study, I pray that you will continue to look into the potential pitfalls of legalism, that there are things sometimes that we don't even realize we've gotten into a routine, right, rather than a habit that is pointing us to Jesus. We're doing it because it's what we've always done, or it's what we've been told we're supposed to do, and we've lost the heart behind it. We've lost our identity as sons and daughters of God, as kings and queens and priests, these roles that we get because of our position in Christ. That's what motivates, or should motivate, our holy habits, rather than a sense of obligation or a sense of being judged by others if for some reason these things are not happening or not being done the right way. That is the trap that, again, is, as we see, not a new trap, but certainly one that is easy to fall into.